Welcome back to the latest episode of View from the Bridge, Football.London's Chelsea podcast. I'm Scott Trotter, and once again, I'm joined by my fellow Chelsea writer, Bobby Vincent. How are you doing, Bobby?
I'm good. Thank you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all. Nice to have things picking up once again and almost back to some football.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I think since we last spoke, I think, as always with Chelsea, a lot has went on. Mauricio Pochettino has obviously started work. He's had his first press conference. Players are coming back in dribs and drabs. And, you know, we're also seeing departures. I think last time we spoke, Loftus-Cheek was on the verge. We've also seen Azpilicueta leave and more recently Christian Pulisic. And, you know, it's very clearly becoming a different Chelsea to what we had even just 12 months ago. And I guess just to kind of illustrate that, and I guess the volume of departures and how things are looking different now, I just wondered, Bobby, if you could perhaps name the top three goal scorers that Chelsea still have left on the books in terms of goals scored for Chelsea.
Oh, God. That's a question, that is. Oh, absolutely no one. I'm gonna say Sterling. One of them.
No. He's actually not far off though. He's not.
Yeah,
far
no, off. That's what I thought. I know he's only been there a season, but he did get like 7 or 8. What about Hudson-Odoi?
He's top.
He's top. How many?
16.
Yeah. Okay. Oh God, that's a good question.
I will say when from the tweet I saw that shout out to Carefree Youth who we used to work with, Scott. It was Mason Mount with 33, Kai Havertz with 32, Pulisic with 26, and Azpilicueta with 17.
So Hudson-Odoi's got 16. So just thinking of Lukaku?
Yeah, 15. He's obviously probably not going to be around much longer, very no. Possibly.
Ziyech?
No, I will say this next person has 11 goals. It's
11, yeah. Not that really helps.
No, it doesn't, does it?
Oh, God. Thiago Silva.
I guess think longevity, but you're in the right sort of positions now.
Okay, so centre back, I guess.
Not quite that close.
Ben Chilwell.
Almost.
Reece James.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you consider that Hudson-Odoi and Romelu Lukaku are probably going to be gone by the end of this summer. That is pretty nuts.
Well, similarly, I saw a tweet the other day about Ampadu being the longest-serving player.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to ask me, and then I was going to be really smart and then get it shown.
But yeah, I did also see that one as well. It is it's definitely a very much a new era at Chelsea. And I guess just to kick things off after that is just what have been your first impressions of Pochettino? How do you think he's taken to things, and you know, I guess what we've seen from training so far, what you've heard, what kind of vibe are you getting so far?
I really enjoyed his first press conference. You were there, Scott. I watched it from home, but I just thought it was quite refreshing, and he was he definitely sort of had a certain aura about him. I think one where you could tell he's, you know, very confident in himself, his backroom staff, and what they want to do at Chelsea. I think he was saying, you know, performances aren't enough at Chelsea, you need to win. And I think it was very different from what we saw from Graham Potter when he came in. Obviously, they're very different personalities, so it's kind of to be expected. But I think overall, there was a much more positive feedback from the Chelsea fan base from Pochettino's first press conference. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Made me even more excited for his spell at Chelsea. And Obviously, we don't know too much from training apart from pictures, but it looks like he's getting like very involved with the training, which you'd expect, especially this early on, as he's trying to get his ideas across. You know, where, after a few months when things have settled a bit, he might take a step back and let his some of his staff do more of the training. But it very much looks like he's very hands on at the moment, which is to be expected. And yeah, I mean, just roll on next week. I'm just looking forward to seeing a Pochettino side, how he's, we'll talk about it more later in detail, but how he's going to set up and the players he uses. And I know it's not, I know the side he picks next week isn't going to, you know, matter that much in the long run, but it's just exciting. And I think for Chelsea fans who were desperately wanting the season to end last time out, now there's, it's just gone full circle, and they want the new season to start, because Pochettino has definitely brought a new lease of life to at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said in the press conference, it was very much a departure from what last season was. Tuchel, obviously, he was very good in press conferences in terms of entertainment value, but there was certainly some conflict coming out of there, I think, from the dressing room and some frustrations. And then Graham Potter was obviously very reserved and not what Chelsea fans were used to, I think. I think that felt very much like your process, your key words, and maybe he wasn't wrong, but perhaps not enough emphasis on winning. And then Lampard, I think, obviously, you know, 10 games to go. The season felt done before he even arrived. But Pochettino, obviously, he is focused on the process and improving in that fashion, and acknowledges the challenge. But he did keep on coming back to winning. And when you're a club like Chelsea, you can't say you're going to win in 6 months' time. And I thought what was really, really good to hear, particularly after, you know, what we heard about training under Lampard, and is hearing how much Pochettino wants the team to compete in training from the very first day. I think the thing he said, he didn't want to give the team any excuses, and that was really good to hear, especially at that point when, you know, the team was just starting to come back. Obviously, some big players like Reece James, Ben Chilwell, and Raheem Sterling in training, Thiago Silva as well. Lots of, we've seen more come back this week, but that, I think that's really positive. And I think this week we've seen Nicholas Jackson come back. Come for the first time and start training, and Conor Gallagher, Ethan Ampadu, who we'll maybe talk about a little bit later on as well. So that has obviously been really good to see. I think what is going to be difficult, we have seen so much of this change. We have, you know, seen how Chelsea did last season. I just wonder what kind of expectation, how quickly do you think Chelsea are going to hit the ground running? I think the thing that keeps on sticking out to me is, at the moment, you look at Chelsea's midfield. We've seen Kovacic leave. We've seen Loftus-Cheek leave. Kante is obviously gone. Mount, who obviously could fill in that kind of position, is gone. And, you know, looking in training at the moment, there's Andres Santos, there's Cassidy, Gallagher now. Enzo Fernandez will obviously be due back. The team obviously isn't there at the moment. Pochettino says there obviously needs to be additions, needs to be balanced. Just, I don't know, how quick are Chelsea going to be able to tackle things, and how important are the next couple of weeks? Because, I mean, I guess at the minute it feels like Enzo Fernandez is in midfield like last season, but even he's not back yet.
Yeah, it's gonna be difficult. I don't think it's going to be something that comes too quickly. They've obviously, Chelsea have got a really tough opening game of the season against Liverpool, who done some impressive transfer business so far this window, especially in midfield as well. So, but yeah, I mean, the quicker Poch gets his players back together, obviously the better. Like the likes of Enzo and, you know, and Kunku still yet to come back. Once he can start working with them, then he'll start to be able to get a sort of clear vision on his team and the roles different players play. But look, Chelsea's midfield at the moment, there isn't a lot there, to be honest, which is kind of mental, because when you think of last season, they did have a lot of options. Whether or not they were good enough options is a different question. But at the moment, there's just, yeah, there's not enough numbers there. And Chelsea are selling all these players at the moment. I think they've offloaded about 11 players. That's just sort of what you call senior players as well. And they've only brought in two senior signings, and then Nkunku and Jackson. Obviously, a lot of younger players as well, but they might be sent out on loan or be playing with a development squad. So yeah, it does feel now that Chelsea have gotten rid of all of these players, and they need to start buying some, because they had a bloated squad last season, and now we're looking at, you know, the absolute opposite of it. It's going to be difficult for Poch to hit the ground running. I think anything you get out of that Liverpool game is good. I mean, chances are it's going to be 0-0, because they always seem to be. And then after that is when you've got games, I can't remember the fixture list off the top of my head, but like, you've got games there that you should be looking to get 3 points from. And then hopefully by 6 games in, Chelsea have a decent sum of points. But it's not going to be easy, like, by no means. Is Poch going to turn things around straight away? And he knows that as well. It's a very difficult challenge for him, but I think probably he is the right man for the job and to, you know, turn Chelsea's fortunes around.
Yeah, and I think just sticking with the midfield, obviously Moises Caicedo is the figure of lots of talk and has been for months now. I guess obviously interest in January as well. It doesn't appear like there's been a great deal of movement between Chelsea and Brighton. I think talks are still kind of ongoing without a formal bid as such. But we mentioned Liverpool there, and you mentioned them improving their midfield as well. I think there's a bit talk of Jordan Henderson possibly leaving the club, and now the suggestion that maybe even they could be in for Caicedo. And I guess maybe that might put a little bit of pressure on Chelsea to form a deal that might be slightly more favourable towards Brighton.
Yeah, I think so. Henderson and Fabinho seem to be close-ish to move into Saudi Arabia. I've seen a few reports saying that they've always liked Caicedo, and you know that could force them to make a bid, because they'll be low on midfield numbers. And I definitely think it would be a kick up the backside for Chelsea if Liverpool did go in, because, you know, they've almost, apart from interest from like Manchester United, but nothing concrete, they've had a pretty clear run at Caicedo this summer. And obviously the talk of Arsenal earlier in the window, when they wasn't sure if they were going to sign Declan Rice or not. But when you look at January, there were like loads of teams in for him. So it's kind of strange that they're sort of the only team right now in talks with Brighton before Caicedo. But if Liverpool were to get involved, obviously, I mean, they don't have Champions League football next year, but they have Europa League football, which is better than Chelsea. I'm not sure that would be enough to persuade Caicedo, but yeah, you back Chelsea to financially to outdo Liverpool, because Liverpool's owners tend to be a bit more cautious with their spending. By the way, Chelsea, yeah, they're working on this deal, and there's been a real lack of updates. I'm kind of wondering if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because maybe there are things going on, but they're just not being briefed to journalists, because for whatever reason, and perhaps that's good. But yeah, the Chelsea remain confident they'll get Caicedo, and I still think they will as well. But again, I don't think it's going to be one that gets done soonish. I think it'll probably be, you know, towards the latter stages of August. So, but yeah, but I want the transfer saga done, really, just so Chelsea actually have some numbers.
Yeah, and I think it makes you wonder whether the player gets sort of antsy at this kind of stage. Obviously, on the verge of pre-season, Chelsea, I think, even play Brighton in the next couple of weeks out in the United States. And Caicedo, obviously, did an interview the other day, and I think you wrote a story on that, and see, and that sounded positive in terms of Chelsea's ability to sign him, I think.
Yeah, it's stuff we kind of already knew, because we've known for a while now that he's wanted to move, and he's basically agreed personal terms without actually signing anything. But he just said he couldn't say no to a club like Chelsea. Complimented how historic the club was, how big of a club it was. Commented on what a beautiful city London is, which, by the way, you kind of forget it almost with footballers, but location does play probably quite a big part. And like a city like London, for someone who doesn't come from England, might be a massive pull. So, and it does sound like it. But yeah, very positive. It was quite surprising in a way, because normally players, when they're asked about transfers, just play it down a bit and say, oh, I'll let my agents handle it or whatever, or even they'll be even more stern of it and be like, I don't want to comment on my future right now, I'm just looking ahead of pre-season or whatever. But he basically just came out and said, yeah, I like Chelsea, I want to move there, which I guess kind of does put a bit more pressure on Brighton. Whether or not they feel it or not, or they just sort of discount it, is another question. But yeah, from what we've heard, he was told by, he spoke to De Zerbi after January and was told that, like, basically promised that he'd be able to get a move if the right offer came in. And, Brighton, what Brighton see as the right offer is a different matter. And that's obviously what they're trying to negotiate with Chelsea at the moment. But yeah, still a lot to be done. But from the players' side, I don't think there's any questions. But it would be interesting to see what would happen if another club did come in, and whether that was, the whole no European football thing with Chelsea would count in Caicedo's mind.
Yeah. And continue on the midfield front, another player who maybe his future is a little bit more uncertain, equally uncertain, Conor Gallagher. We obviously reported a while ago there was a expectation he could leave Chelsea this summer. That was kind of ahead of all these other central midfield departures. And, Pochettino is now getting his first days of actually working with Gallagher, and I'm sure they're having conversations on the training ground now. I guess just where do you think Chelsea's current situation leaves him, and what do you think maybe the next step for him is?
I think, obviously, we know Chelsea are open to offers, but I think ideally Chelsea would want to get a couple of faces in before even considering selling Gallagher, because I think if you sell him now, there's genuinely quite worrying the lack of midfielders Chelsea have. So I think wait it out a bit. I mean, there's nothing imminent with him. I reported yesterday that he's still like considering his future. We know about interest from Tottenham, West Ham, and Newcastle, but there's nothing imminent with him. So just wait it out. I think. He's definitely not a bad player to have around, is he? Because every manager seems to really like him. His attitude, his work rate. And the Nizar Kinsella, a journalist who covers Chelsea, reported yesterday, I think, that Poch wants a sort of English core, homegrown core to his squad. So if that is the case, then, Gallagher definitely fits that. And, I don't think it has any, just to wait out for a bit, I don't think there's any harm in that. And if you get to a stage sort of August, mid-August, where Chelsea have signed a couple midfielders, they've got other areas, they've signed players in other areas that they want to, then, and an offer comes in, then it's the right offer, then I think, why not sell him if they're open to it? And also it gives Pochettino a bit more time to work with him, of course, and he might change his mind on him. He might just feel like, okay, I see you as my number eight next season. I see you here. We all know he can be a really good player. I did it when I was writing my piece on him yesterday. I was looking back at some old Patrick Vieira quotes from when he was at Palace on loan. And Gallagher basically said that Vieira allowed him to just sort of do what he wants in terms of running into the box, almost like a free roll. And we saw the benefits of that from him that season. He got, I think he got 8 goals in the Premier League and like 4 or 5 assists. And he, by all accounts, he had a really good season for Palace. And there was all that excitement for when he came back to Chelsea. Sort of just seemed like he would be the next Cobham graduate to flourish at Chelsea after like Mason Mount, Reece James, etc. So I think if Pochettino can find him a role in the team, then it gets rid of the whole transfer question. But yeah, I think just wait out for the time being. I don't think there's any rush in that regard, because I don't think you actively want to be going out and selling a midfielder now, because Chelsea have got, you know, about $250 million back from player sales already this summer. And yeah, they'll just run out of players if they keep selling. Sounds obvious, but I think just way out on this one.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. And, they need midfielders, and they need a midfield. That is quite an important part of a football team. So yeah. I guess just looking at the preseason groups, pretty much everybody back now. Let me go through the players. So I think obviously Lukaku, Ziyech, Aubameyang now not expected back to next week. Pochettino has said Lukaku was due back this week and he was going to speak to him. But I think there's a hope that maybe something can be figured out in time for the start of next week. Perhaps that's maybe a significant hint that they're not going to be in the squad that travels to the States. I guess maybe unsurprisingly for most, but that'll be interesting to discover, presuming that they do head to Cobham rather than straight out to the United States. Obviously, it's still a possibility with, I think, Noni Madueke and Levi Colwell. They'll probably both be heading straight out with the preseason tour. Mudrick, I think, is back in London. He was at Wimbledon this week, but maybe the same sort of scenario for him. And Nkunku and Enzo Fernandez, the other players still to return. I think that's just about everybody. Do you see anything happening in the next sort of 5 days with regard to Lukaku, Ziyech or Aubameyang? I guess the interest that Chelsea maybe want to take advantage of is Saudi Arabia. But I think talks ongoing with Inter over Lukaku for the moment as well.
Yeah, I think Lukaku definitely looks the most advanced. You know, Chelsea and Inter have been in talks for some time now. Inter had a first bid rejected the other day. And yeah, I'd imagine there are talks ongoing right now about, you know, how much Chelsea want, what Inter are willing to offer, and all the complexities. But yeah, with Ziyech and Aubameyang, it doesn't look as advanced. We've heard a very worrying amount on Aubameyang, I think. Apart from sort of interest from Turkey and Saudi Arabia, we haven't really heard much at all. Maybe that just shows that he's not in any rush, or Chelsea aren't in any rush, who knows? Or maybe it's the opposite and we're just not hearing anything on it. Ziyech's a weird one because he obviously had that medical with Al Nassr, and they said there was something wrong with his knee, which he sort of took fun at on his Instagram story. So that kind of looks like it's off. But I think there are other clubs in Saudi Arabia really interested in him, so I think that's probably still an option for him. But yeah, I mean, the sooner Chelsea can get rid of those three, because, you know, those three in particular would have probably been ones at the start of the window that you said would have gone first, because, you know, they clearly have no future at Chelsea, all three of them. And they all obviously want to leave. So, yeah, kind of strange how nothing's happened with them. But yeah, fully expected to. And, you know, I don't want a case of them getting minutes in America, really, when, you know, Poch could be handing it to different players who actually have a future of the club. So as soon as possible would be, you know, ideal for all parties, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we obviously saw how that panned out last summer under Tuchel as well, with the number of players who got minutes and then weren't there by the end of August. So yeah, big. And hopefully when we do discover that Chelsea squad for the US, hopefully it is with intentions on the future. And I do think maybe we've had a little bit of a hint of who we can expect in that squad next week. In preseason training, we've seen some players who you would maybe traditionally class as a senior Chelsea player who has not trained with the senior group under Pochettino. There's Callum Hudson-Odoi training with a group more akin to a 21 side, that kind of has floated with some 21s players training under Poch as well. Also, Tino Andrin, who you wrote about earlier in the week as well, and could be getting the loan move away. And I think Harvey Vales with that group as well. Obviously, he is under 21, but still has been involved in the senior setup previously and last summer. But interestingly, Ethan Ampadu returns. I think many expected him to depart in the final year of his contract, but he is with that senior group at the moment. And maybe that's a hint that he could travel out next week. Do you think that's probably likely as things stand with, I guess, no midfielders?
Yeah, I think that's sort of as clear as an indication as you're going to get, really. If he's training with the senior squad, he could quite easily have been in that group you mentioned, considering he's just come back out from loan. Yeah, interesting with Ampadu. He's clearly a good player, but he hasn't really had the chance at Chelsea and got a year left in his contract. So you would think, really, unless Chelsea are preparing to give him a new contract, which we haven't really heard anything about, that he would be sold this summer. But haven't heard anything on it yet. And yeah, but by all accounts, it does look like will travel out to America. If you're training with that group, I wouldn't see the benefit of putting him in there. Unless, you know, Pochettino sort of had some plans for him this summer. So maybe it's going to be one where because we obviously talked about the lack of depth in midfield, and he can obviously play in defensive mid. He could play centre-back, full-back, defensive mid. So he's a useful player to have. Maybe Pochettino wants to give him a chance in defensive mid and sort of see where he's at, see where his development's at, and then maybe make a decision on him then. But yeah, it's strange. We haven't really heard too much about it, but you would think he probably would leave Chelsea this summer, because, like I said, because of his contract situation.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe just to talk about the group that could head out to the States, and particularly maybe even playing that first game against Wrexham. I think the thing that keeps on standing out to me, outside of the midfielders I keep on harping on about, is the possibility that Chelsea travel to the United States with four left-backs. Pochettino talked about balancing the squad, and maybe that's slightly imbalanced for the moment. Ben Chilwell, obviously, Lewis Hall, if you consider him a left back, which I think maybe you have to after those performances at the end of the season. Mark Cucurella and also Ian Mattson, who is also still training with that senior group, which is, I think, interesting considering, you know, he was said to be available for a move after his impressive Burnley loan last year. And I think there was obviously interest from Burnley in him as well. So, but for the moment, he remains at Chelsea, obviously working with Pochettino. And I guess, again, we don't know the squad yet, but we do seem like we're in a situation where all four could travel. Maybe there'll be a brutal decision at the end and an indication of who could be leaving or on loan. But do you think that'll be the case? And I don't know, do you see this, maybe fixed isn't the right term, but do you see it getting solved in the next couple of weeks?
I think, yeah, all of them could travel, but I do think that you've got to be putting Lewis Hall in midfield for pre-season at least, because, yeah, like, he's been really impressive left back, don't get me wrong, but it's almost a waste of his talents, I think, when he is a natural midfielder and that's where he's played for the development squad. I don't think there's any harm in putting them there in midfield, particularly when you've got, you know, three left backs in Mattson, Cucurella and Chilwell. So again, like we were talking about Chelsea's midfield situation, they haven't got many midfielders at the moment, so why not experiment with Lewis Hall there? But yeah, it does seem crazy that there's four left backs when, I mean, you think of it last season, and when Cucurella and Chilwell are out, you only had Lewis Hall to come in and play. But I do think, yeah, like if you could give Hall some minutes in midfield, then that would be beneficial to him as well, because I think he does prefer it in midfield. And like I said, I think he's so technically good that it's almost a waste of his talents playing left back. You don't get as much from him. Obviously, he's very good at crossing, but you don't get as much as you could get from him in midfield. He did play very well against Liverpool at Anfield earlier last season. Didn't have his best game, which, you know, a lot of people might point out when I'm saying that I think he should have a go at midfield. But, you know, away at Anfield, playing in midfield is, it's never easy, especially when you're playing in a really disjointed Chelsea side. So, yeah, I would love to see Hall get some minutes in midfield. And I think that would just be ideal for everyone, because you get to see what sort of player he could be in the future as well.
Yeah, definitely. It will be interesting whether that is the approach taken, especially if all four do travel, just because, you know, how else are some of those players going to get minutes at that stage, I think. So, yeah, it will be really interesting. I think for most, the debate to an extent comes down to Mattson versus Cucurella in terms of who they perhaps want or maybe expect to stay at Chelsea. Do you think there's a chance that Chelsea could sell Cucurella? Do you think there's people who would sign him after obviously that difficult year last year? Or do you think, you know, Mattson, unless Pochettino takes a particular shine to him, makes too much sense to sell in terms of he obviously came from the academy, great deal of profit, they should make a decent amount of money. He might be a good player, but it's just unfortunate timing because, you know, and I think it gets forgotten how good Ben Chilwell is. Maybe Mattson will want first team football on the regular, and, you know, Chelsea have a finite amount of games this year.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, yeah, Cucurella was of interest for Atletico. But I think they were at least close to signing another left back now, Atletico, in Javi Gayan. So I don't think that they'll be interested in him anymore. But yeah, Cucurella is a weird one. I still definitely think there's a player there. And I don't think I would have thought that if I hadn't seen his performance against Dortmund at home last season. I thought he was exceptional then. I thought that was the sort of player that Chelsea think they were going to be signing from Brighton. He was very aggressive in his tackle, but not rash, which, you know, there's a very fine line between the both. And we probably saw more of his rash side last season. Very good on the ball, good going forward, looked competent defensively, which we didn't see enough from him last season. So, yeah, I do think there's a player there. And like you said about the, you do obviously get more profit if you sell a player from the academy. And there is interest in Mattson. It has gone a bit quiet recently, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But I do think Mattson probably is the one to sell out of the two. But, like, I'm also quite keen to, I wouldn't be averse to seeing Cucurella leave and having Mattson as a backup left back, because I think he obviously had a really good season in the Championship last time out, and he's definitely a really exciting talent. And, you know, for those who love players coming from the academy, then obviously they'll be favouring Mattson. It's up to Chelsea now whether they want to give Cucurella another go, or they almost want to just, you know, accept their mistake and try and get as much back for a sale as possible, because, you know, it was big money they brought in for last summer.
Yeah, for sure. And that will be an interesting one to monitor as the weeks go on. But I think, as you know, Chelsea have already started getting a lot of money back into the club after, you know, some lavish spending in the first 12 months of the ownership. But we still expect some more outlay. Obviously, Caicedo, we've already mentioned. But I guess the name at the minute, and one that is exciting a few people, is Ryan Cherki of Lyon. What do you know about that at the moment? And what kind of player is he in? And would he fit in at Chelsea? I think the thing for me at the moment kind of lingering is they're just starting to get those forward positions down to the level that you'd want with the likes of, you know, Sterling, Mudrick. Is he somebody who would come in, kind of compete with those guys, or is he a more central figure, do you think?
Yeah, so what Cherki is that Chelsea probably don't have is more of an attacking midfielder. So if Pochettino is to play the sort of 4-2-3-1 formation we kind of expect or predict, then he's probably the most natural, you know, number 10 out of anyone in the Chelsea squad. I mean, Sterling's played there for Liverpool, City and England before, but he's more of a winger. Then you've got Madueke and Mudrick, who I think by all accounts, are wide players. So obviously with Mason Mount going, it's kind of, and Pulisic, you could of course play in the centre, then it's kind of a, you know, like a replacement for them, so to speak. He's very, without having seen too much of him actually playing live, obviously I've seen clips, I've just been told he's very exciting. I spoke to a Lyon fan who I know quite well, who couldn't sort of speak highly enough of them, said he's a really exciting talent. And you think of the players that Lyon have produced in their academy over the years, and you say that he might be, like, he has the potential to be the greatest. He's, like, the most naturally gifted. He's a real, like, he's a real flair footballer. Someone who's very skillful, very direct and good at dribbling. So he's definitely, like, a really exciting player. And I think that's why it's got a lot of Chelsea fans on social media so hyped, because these are the sort of players that, when they click, can be unstoppable. What I know about him, Chelsea have spoken to his representatives about a move before they even sounded out Lyon. And I think there was positive feedback. So, like, the player would want the move. And, yeah, Chelsea are very interested in him. They were, when they watched Matt Augusto last season, apparently he caught the eye a lot then. So, obviously, that's the case with a lot of things. When they go scout one player, another player can catch the eye, and that's happened with Cherki. Nothing advanced as of yet, but definitely one to keep an eye on. I think more and more outlets are now reporting Chelsea interested in him as well. And yeah, at 19, he's got, you know, all the time in the world to improve. And I think with Lyon are currently under in sort of an investigation because of some of their transfer activity. So they're kind of under a bit of pressure to sell, and they've briefed that they're sort of determined to keep him, but at the same time they haven't said that he's not for sale, which I think is quite telling, because it's like almost saying, oh, we really want to keep hold of him, but there might be a chance he goes. And we have seen with Lyon, they do sell their best players. They've got a reputation for doing it. So I think if Chelsea are really serious about it, which I'm told they are, then they will get him eventually. Another possible stumbling block is PSG, because I think they offered decent money for him in January, and Lyon were quite quick to reject it. And they're sort of said to be sort of sniffing around still. But I do think it's almost common sense here that Lyon would obviously rather sell to Chelsea rather than one of their domestic rivals in PSG, who, you know, win the league pretty much every season. So strengthening them doesn't really make too much sense from their point of view. So, yeah, I do think Chelsea are favourites right now for Cherki, and I can definitely see a deal being done, you know, however long it takes.
Yeah, and it would be nice to think that PSG don't become, you know, this summer's Barcelona for Chelsea after you got and Vega, kind of those deals already seeming impacted by the French side's interest. But I guess we see the young forward player certainly seems to be a type that Chelsea are liking at the minute. I think Angelo Gabriel is one. There's another guy from Brazil they were looking at as well, wasn't there? From,
was it Santos? Yeah, all the young Brazilian players sort of just merged into one. You know, I can't even differentiate them at all.
So yeah, it's definitely a profile Chelsea are looking at. Perhaps a risky endeavour to hope that they all go up in value, but one that we certainly will look on with interest to discover. And I think on that front, they obviously signed Diego Moreira from Benfica on a free transfer this summer. He was involved with the under-21s European Championships as a squad player, made a couple of appearances off the ground. So I think, interestingly, he did notice he'd been put on the first team squad page of the Chelsea website, which was certainly at least a surprise to me. And they have been giving him...
I think he trained for the first team yesterday as well, didn't he? I saw pictures
of he certainly seemed to be getting the full announcement treatment at the very least yesterday. I think the first player to be pictured in the new shirt as a announcement kind of presentation. He's had a little kind of interview that certainly went on Instagram this morning, explained what kind of player he's going to be. And I think he said his favourite Chelsea players were Hazard and Drogba, which feels like a classic combination for any player discussing Chelsea, but understandably so. So I'm interested to see where he lies, whether he goes on this trip, because I think maybe most thought he would start off with the dev side. So it'll be interesting if he can make an early impact. And maybe, like you say, he will have a few days before the returns of the likes of Mudryk and Madueke, who we do expect to, you know, push on big next year. I guess that leaves us on to Wrexham. It's coming up quickly, less than a week to go. Obviously, lots of players either just coming into training or not had a great deal of time there. Do you have any predictions of who we might see in that starting 11, Bobby? Or maybe, more interestingly, what you'd like to see in that first game?
I just like it as a general sort of thought. I'd just like to sort of, I'm interested to see what formation Pochettino goes with more than anything, more than personnel, because like I said, the personnel doesn't really matter. He's probably going to go with the players who have been training for the longest since he's been here. Because, you know, like the likes of Nkunku and Enzo and Mudryk, all those players coming back probably are not going to start because they want to train that much. So they want to be careful of those players. But if you can get, you know, any sort of minutes into like Armando Broja, if he's ready, we know he's been training. Obviously, he's been out since December, I think it was, with that horrible injury. But that would be ideal. It'd be nice to see him back. Nicholas Jackson's been training for sort of the last week or so. So if we could see him, that'd be great, and see what sort of player he is. Myself included, I know a lot of Chelsea fans haven't really seen too much of him from when he was at Villarreal. So it'd be good to sort of see what kind of number nine he is. I'm just like dead interested to see the formation. I think any minutes for Nkunku would be brilliant. He's obviously the most exciting transfer Chelsea have made this summer. Someone who's got big expectations around him. Where he's going to play as well, I think, is really interesting. Whether that's as a number nine or as a winger or, you know, just behind a striker, he sort of play anywhere there. Played his best football with Leipzig as a number nine. So, you know, logic would suggest that he probably is going to play there. And I think as well, if you see Nkunku as a, you know, a centre forward, then it kind of answers the question about whether Chelsea are going to try and sign another striker this summer. Because there's, you know, we've heard all summer that Chelsea want a striker, and then they went out and bought Nicholas Jackson, and we weren't sure whether he's more of a one for the future or he's going to be starting, kind of being like involved in Pochettino's plans that season. So yeah, I think a lot is to be said about what position Nkunku's used in pre-season. Well, then again, Poch might just experiment with him and just see where he fits best, because, you know, right now is the time to do that. When the results and performances don't matter as much, it's more to do with just, you know, getting the players fit again. But yeah, plenty of things to look out for. Plenty of things I haven't even mentioned, but yeah, I am looking forward to it. It's just going to be nice to have some football back.
Yeah, for sure. I think I am going to put you on the spot for one thing. Mauricio Pochettino was asked about this in his opening press conference, obviously with Azpilicueta leaving. Chelsea will need a new captain. A few guys who have worn the armband have departed this summer. But Pochettino did say he wanted to get to know the squad, feel the personalities, feel the players before making any decision on that. He's still not even met everybody, I don't think, in person at least. Who do you think is going to be the person wearing the armband against Wrexham?
I think Thiago Silva. If he starts Thiago Silva, if not Reece James. Overall, I think it makes sense to give it to Thiago now, because realistically, he's not going to be at the club for that much longer. Because of his age, like, he keeps signing 1-year extensions, but how long is that going to go on for? Could be his last season, the one coming up. And then I think would be the time to give it to James. So you have James as vice-captain, Thiago as captain. I think that fits well, because you got to remember, James is still very young. As brilliant as he is, he's still very young. But if you could get another year or 2 years out of Thiago Silva, which would be mental, then that would be great. And then pass it on to James when he's, you know, 23, 24. Yeah, but I do think those two in particular are standouts. I feel like Enzo Fernandez potentially has that in him, but he, you know, he's been at the club for 6 months. I don't think it makes great sense to just appoint him captain. There aren't too many sort of candidates, are there? You think of Reece and Thiago, and then you're thinking Kepa, maybe, because he's one of the more senior figures. He's one of the most experienced ones. But then you're thinking, has he got much of a future at the club? Chelsea want to sign a goalkeeper. You know, is he going to be number one? Then you've got the likes of Raheem Sterling, who's 28, I think. Obviously played a ridiculous amount of games for, you know, he's not old, but he's so experienced already. But he's only been at Chelsea a season. And, you know, but it wasn't his greatest season of his career. But these are the sort of players you're looking at. Sterling, Kepa, Ben Chilwell, maybe. But apart from that, I mean, there aren't too many candidates. A lot of Chelsea's more experienced players and long-serving players have left this summer. So, but yeah, I think Thiago Silva is the obvious candidate. I think he's captained sides before. And, you know, when you watch him, I think it's hard as tell on TV, but when you watch him from, you know, where we watch him at Stamford Bridge, you see what he brings to the side in a leadership sort of role. He's always shouting at the defenders to get up or get back or whatever it is, mark someone. I think he sets by example off the pitch as well, you know, to keep himself in that sort of condition. At 38 years old, playing in the Premier League week in, week out is sort of incredible and hasn't really been done. And I think every single Chelsea manager who's coached him have just been so complimentary of his work rate, his attitudes, and like I said, what he does off the pitch. So for like younger players looking up, I think Thiago Silva is the absolute perfect role model, and I think he would be the ideal candidate to take over captaincy.
Yeah, a very compelling argument there.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it would be the easy answer. I don't know. I don't know whether it will be what they decide on the end, just because of that uncertainty of how long he'll be around. But I do think there's something to be said of the aura he brings. I think it'll be easy for new players to kind of really be drawn to that. And I'm sure they already have been to an extent. And he does have an air about him. I think what will be interesting is just how much football he ends up playing. Does it turn into a bit of an Azpilicueta situation? If he plays like last season, there's every chance he could play most weeks, I think. But obviously with Fofana, Badiashil, Caldwell, it will be interesting just how much football, how quickly those other guys can prove themselves, maybe break into the team. Badiashil's injury, I think, makes it quite likely Silva could start the season, particularly with Caldwell being later back than some of the other guys. But yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Silva will probably be a great captain, somebody the supporters will all get behind. It's not really somebody I'd thought about too much before today, but when you mentioned Chilwell, I wonder, maybe a bit too much passion at times, in terms of, I don't know, keeping himself in control to be the guy to lead captaincy. But I'm always impressed with Chilwell's intensity when he plays. I think when Chelsea have struggled this season, he's often been one of the better players on the pitch when he has been on the pitch. And he has like that kind of right aggression to really compete all the time, which I think is really positive. But maybe that idea of competing takes away from that ability to, you know, captain at the same time. I'm not entirely sure, but I think that's a really interesting shout. But yeah, I think
he's definitely one who, you know, without having an actual official role, could wear the armband when players are off, if you know what I mean. Yeah. If Thiago Silva's not playing or Reece James isn't there, then he might be like third or fourth choice. I think that's sort of a good role for him. Somebody wears the armband for like 10 minutes at the end of a game.
I think that's a shout. And at least I think because we've probably spoken about it for, almost years now, Chelsea haven't really had any obvious candidates, but in many respects, James has almost been just expected to take on the role at some point. So it'll be really interesting to see how he kind of develops into a leader over the next season, because he will certainly have to. And hopefully we get a season out of him where he plays a lot of football, and that would be probably go a long way to him earning that role. But yeah, I do think Silva probably is the easy answer for the moment. But yeah, just interesting to see how it pans out over the season. Anything else you are looking forward to for the coming summer, or anything else you would like to flag up that you're reporting on at the minute, Bobby?
No, not really. Just looking forward to football being back. Having Saturdays and Sundays to look forward to watch football. I'm hoping just all the transfer stuff gets solved sooner rather than later. I hope Cole will, there's a decision over his future soon. I hope Caicedo signs, Cherki signs. I hope every Chelsea fan's happy. So it just makes social media a little nicer place.
Before we sign off, I will say what is absolutely nuts, and I kind of hadn't realised until yesterday, is obviously Chelsea, perhaps the team that loan players out more than anybody, and maybe there's a few more permanents to go, but there's certainly a lot of business to be done on that front. And I saw somebody pointed out yesterday, and it kind of hadn't really dawned on me before, but there's only like 2 weeks until the Football League's back. So there's any business that you want done on that front, there's perhaps certainly a pace needs to be picked up. I think what stood out in the training sessions yesterday, if you just look at how many goalkeepers Chelsea have at the minute as well, Eddie Beach, Lucas Bergstrom, Jamie Cumming, Ted Kerd, Max Merritt will be with some of the younger guys, Luke Campbell as well. There's a whole host of goalkeepers, as Chelsea always do have. Teddy Sharman-Lowe already out on loan. Obviously, Kepa and Bettinelli, and perhaps a third goalkeeper still to come in. So it's just going to be really interesting if Chelsea can find homes for all of those guys. Obviously, Slanina, I think just the US crashed out the Gold Cup. He's still to come back. So it'll be all throughout the positions, and particularly the 21s, but I just thought I'd really start with keepers, how many loans still might need to take place. And if you want those guys in for the start of any season, there's only 2 weeks left to do it. It's crept up quickly.
It certainly has, yeah.
But yeah, we'll end things there for today. Next time we speak, I'll hopefully be out in the USA, and we'll be in the midst of Chelsea's pre-season tour. Perhaps if we get a chance to chat while in North Carolina, or if not, I think it'll be Philadelphia after that. But yeah, listen out for that one where we start divulging. We can get to talk about Mauricio Pochettino's first team selection, see all those player users. It'll be a really exciting time. Before then, we'll have plenty of work out on football.london across the weekend and in the build-up to it. Obviously, watch out for that squad announcement and all the build-up to that game against Wrexham. So thanks again. If you made it to the end, thank you for joining us. Please leave us a lovely rating and help the podcast grow. We'd really appreciate that. And thank you to you for joining me as well, Bobby. Always great to speak. And we'll catch you again next week.